Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, on this early, early morning. Thank you for joining me this morning at 6:30 instead of our normal 7 o'clock. But as they say, life goes on and you got things to do. You got to go to work. You got to go to work. Hallelujah. I am grateful. I am thankful. I am blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a good word because we are blessed, 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 and blessed some more. For God has told us how blessed we are in his word. And when we read the word, we know why we are blessed, how we are blessed, and who is blessed. Hallelujah. And our word for this day, today, is simply this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to see God someday. And I pray daily for a pure, clean heart, so that I can see God. You know, as I was studying and trying to find out which word I was going to use this morning, blessed just kept coming back. You know, I thought I was going to use the rainbow and how the rainbow is our covenant with God. But coming back. And so blessed it is this morning. But Jesus is the one that spoke these words. And when Jesus speaks, we got to listen. We want to be better. We want to be a better country, a better nation. We want to be better to each other. And we have allowed craziness and foolishness to get into the vernacular of our church. We have become, in some instances, idolaters, choosing men and a man, probably like it is, over God and over our values and over who we are supposed to be, not cheaters, not liars, not thieves. And, you know, I try to stay out of, you know, I've said some things, yes, but this particular day, we all know that Georgia is having their election. And we as Americans need to pray that God's will be done. God's will, what's best for his people. Lord, what's best for your people. But you are in control, Father God. And I come to you this morning lifting up this nation that has been so divided and broken, where people are fighting against each other, where people are hurting. Children are going hungry. People are being kicked out of their homes. Lord, you know every situation. You know every name of family members that have passed on to be with you. You know each and every one. And Father God, I ask you this morning to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, that we, Lord God, may walk in righteousness, in love, in kindness, in gentleness, being patient with each other, being kind. God, we lift up our leaders of this nation, leaders that are here, leaders that are to come, that they will get out of self and think about the people that they represent, the nation they are leaders of. Father God, help us to be better, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And above all, Father God, help us to love you more. I pray this day, Lord God, that hearts will think outside of themselves and think of the better, the good for all. Lord, give your children clarity today, clarity on tomorrow that will do wrong for power and gain. Convict those that will put themselves in their own needs above the needs of many that they represent. Lord God, I pray that this nation can be made whole. For you, Father God, are in charge. And Lord, I lift up this word today. Lord, you made a covenant with us, the beautiful rainbow, Lord God, that you will never destroy this planet again with water. Father God, we come before you today humbly, asking you to forgive us. I pray for the nation today. I humbly ask you to forgive us, Lord God, as a nation. Forgive us, Lord God, as your people and hard-hearted. Forgive us, God, for your children are dying in the streets. Your children are dying in hospital beds, makeshift hospitals. Your children are dying from hunger. Your children are dying from lack of knowledge. Lord God, give us understanding. Give us knowledge and give us hearts of compassion, so that we will be blessed and see you one day, for we have pure hearts. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I ask you to increase as I decrease this morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. Lord, I ask you to speak through me this morning. Remove flesh and replace it with your spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word. I lift up this broadcast. I lift up every part of my life. I give it to you, Lord God. In the holy name of Jesus, I thank you for waking me up this morning, for giving me an opportunity for a do-over. Let this day be better than yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get started, because truly I do have to go to work today. This is a beautiful word. This is actually a great word this morning. And the word today is coming out of the book of Genesis chapter 9 through chapter 10, 3 verses 5 through 8, Proverbs chapter 1 verses 23 through 27, and Matthew chapter 5, which is a great word. Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6 are, to me, some of the best words in the Bible, because they're mostly Jesus speaking. And in chapter 6, which we'll be going through on the 6th, which is pretty awesome. On the 7th, we'll be going into Matthew chapter 6. We'll be finishing up Matthew chapter 5 on tomorrow. So we will be learning prayer, the Father's prayer, on Thursday. So that is great, the Father's prayer. So we will be doing a little bit more on Thursday. We might actually go over a little longer on Thursday because the Father's prayer is so important. So anyway, let's get back to today. Join me in Genesis chapter 9. And the word of God says, came, and this is what it says. So God blessed Noah. As some of you who have not joined us at the beginning of this year, we are in Genesis. And we're going to go from Genesis to Revelation. And we will get Revelation chapter 22 on December 31st this year. As we always like to say, God willing, not me, but God. And it goes on to say, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother. I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Eating that rare beast. We're not supposed to be eating raw meat. You know, I can't do it. If I see blood coming out of it, it's not going in my mouth. That's got to get cooked some more. Because the word of God is telling us that we should not be eating bloody meat. But it's also saying, way before the Ten Commandments, that thou shalt not kill. What did he say? Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. But in the image of God he made man. In other words, thou shalt not kill. For you be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. In other words, there he is. Shouldn't I be having abortions? Shouldn't be doing it. The word of God says be fruitful and multiply. Have babies. God will let you know when, and he'll let you know how, and he'll stop it when it's time. And I wish I had known this word a lot better as I was growing up, as I was younger, having children. And not walk in fear, which I did, because I had to have emergency C-sections. And a miscarriage. And so I got afraid and didn't want any more children because I was afraid of dying in childbirth. Enemy will do what he does because he doesn't want you to have fruit. He doesn't want you to extend the vine. So be careful. Don't listen to that. Do what God tells you to do. Don't walk in fear. Walk in faith. And what do we say? Prayer is faith. Because we pray in faith, right? Then it goes on to say, then God spoke to Noah and said to his sons with him, saying, as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. The rainbow is covenant with us. And don't get bent out of shape that someone else is using the rainbow. You wear your rainbow with pride because you know your rainbow represents your covenant with God. Don't get all tripped over and tripped up over anything else. Folks get all bent out of shape. Well, that means no, it doesn't. Whatever some other group wants it to mean for them, let it be their meaning. But we know what it means to us. When I see that rainbow in the sky, I know that God is saying to us, never again. Never again. So I'm not ashamed and I'm not afraid. I'm going to wear my rainbow if God gives me opportunity to wear it. I love God. And if rainbow that you may be wearing gives you an opportunity to start a conversation on salvation, then let it be. Because it may be that sometimes people have more in common than they are apart. Because God says, judge not, lest you be judged. So our talking Christian too, our covenant, the Lord has set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine, and knew that his younger son had done to him. Then he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Died at 950 years old. But we know that his forefather, Methuselah, lived 969 years old. So Noah didn't quite make it to the age of Methuselah, who is, as we know, the oldest recorded human to live on this earth. 969 years old, and Noah lived 950 years. And this is, for those, again, that are joining us, we say this every morning, we are coming this year again out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version. And what we do is on Fridays, because I do not do a show on Saturday unless there's a situation where I cannot do a Friday show, then I will do a Saturday show. Or if I can't do a Sunday show, I will do a Saturday show. But pretty much I do not do Saturday shows. That is my day of rest. But anyway, on Saturday, for Saturday show, I usually do part of the daily lesson for Saturday on Friday, and I do the other part of the daily lesson on Sunday. So Saturday is split up between Friday and Sunday, just as an FYI for those that are just joining us. Chapter 9, verse 12, life lessons, life questions, and I think there's one more, life principles. When I read those, they are coming from Dr. Stanley. It's just a part of a daily devotional. That's what this is. This is our daily devotional Bible reading, and I would suggest this Bible to everyone. If you are studying and wanting to do better and wanting to learn the Word, this Bible is magnificent. And it comes in New King James, King James, and I believe NIV that I've seen. So, you know, whichever one you decide to purchase, it is worth every dime. This is one of the best Bibles I think I own, and I own a lot of them. Done a lot of different types of Bible study. We've done a Hebrew and Greek. We've done chronological, so we've done quite a bit. But this year, God just put it on my heart again, because I was looking for a new one-year study Bible, and this kept coming back. So we're doing it again, because we really did not start this Bible until, I believe, March or April of last year, because we were finishing up another Bible that we were in the process of finishing up. So we didn't get it done by December 31st. It went into, I think, March. And so we started this Bible in April, I believe. So now we're going to get the whole thing in context from Genesis to Revelation. And so a life lesson for today's word for chapter 9 is this. This is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature. When God makes a promise, he does not want us to tangible. A tangible sign or pledge to memorialize his promise. And God's pledge to memorialize his promise that he will never destroy us again by water is that rainbow. A covenant with God. You know, one night after a really, really bad rain, over my church was a double rainbow. And I can honestly say we have been blessed as a congregation and as a church during this pandemic. We really have. You know, many churches have closed their doors, have, you know, lost their buildings, You know, so many things have happened, and I have to say we have been blessed. So I pray for those churches that have lost their buildings, that have lost everything because of the pandemic. Congregations unable to pay tithes and offering. So I pray for those pastors and those churches. May God bless you with more and overflow in this year. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21, he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Even righteous and blameless people like Noah do foolish things and fall into sin. But God is so gracious that he calls us to repentance so that we might once more enjoy the fullness of his blessings. Noah was blessed to still live 950 years. That's such a blessing. Now we're going to get into some genealogies. And when we get into genealogies, we understand that we're telling you who belongs to who. And even though we think it's not important, it does become important because these are forefathers of nations. These are the ones that show us who we belong to. You know, so many times because we don't know the word, we have no idea who we belong to. And this is the word it says. Now, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Medai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Taras. Tiras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Gorma. The sons of Javan were Elishak, Tarish, Kittim, and Dodan. From these were the coastline people of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families and to their nations. From these, the coastline people of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families and their nations. So the sons of Japheth were the Gentiles. That's where the Gentiles came from. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mezaram, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Sheba, Havilah, Sabbath, Rama, and Shat. And the sons of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Remember, Nimrod and Babel. And we know we'll be getting into Babel coming up in our word, but Babel, of course, they tried to build tower to God. Come on now. They was going into heaven. But that was Nimrod. And he was a son, a descendant of Ham. Remember that. He was a descendant of Ham, Erech, Akkad, Calni, in the land of Shinar. From that land, he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Calai, rising between Nineveh and Calai. That is the principal city. Mezaram begot Ludum, Ananim, Mehabim, Pashurusim, and Caslasim, from whom came the Philistines and the Caphatorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, the Girgashite, the Havite, the Arkite, the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zemarite, and the Hamathites. Afterwards, the family of the Canaanites were dispersed, and the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, you go toward Gera, as far as Gaza, you go towards Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, as far as Lashay. These were the sons of Ham according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, and in their nations. So you're looking at a lot of the Middle East are the descendants in Africa, some parts of Africa are descendants of Ham. And that's, again, some parts of the Middle East. Because remember, Abraham and his descendants went into Canaan and took it over. Okay, come on now. Gave them. But this is what it says about the sons of Shem. And the children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth. The elder, the sons of Shem, were Eber, Asher, Ephrax, Lut, Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, Mash. Arphaxad begot Salah, and Salah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name one was Peleg, for in the days of the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Ahmad, Dad, Shelaphah, Hazarmaveth, Jerah, Hadoram, and I know I'm probably butchering some of these names, so please forgive me. Uzel, Dikla, Obel, Abinel, Sheba, Orphor, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling place was from Mesha as you go toward Sephar, the mountains of the east. These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations. And from these, the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. So from these three men and their wives came all of us. We are family. We are family. We all are the descendants of Noah. And Noah was a descendant of Adam and Eve. So why are we acting all crazy about race when we are all family? Why are we acting all crazy about pigmentation of the skin when we are family? We are all the descendants of Noah and his wife. We all have a common great, all the way back father, all the way back thousands of years. When it all comes down to it, we are descendants in the same family. Our DNA has something that's the same. We wonder why we each have some type of a DNA that seems to match. Because we're family. We're all family. And we got to stop all this bickering and all this infighting and all this craziness. When we are family. A family that prays together stays together. And we as a family of this world, we're all family. Every one of us. From the Middle East to England, America, to Australia, the continent of Africa, and the continent of Asia. We are all family. And we need to learn how to love each other. Psalms chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, oh my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Salah. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 through 27. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. We better start loving each other, or we will not stand. A house divided against itself shall not stand, and will not stand. We have got to become a united nation again. All that foolishness go out the door when we come together in righteousness and not in lies, deceit, and deception. We will be a great nation. We will build better. We will call us to be. And our word for today is coming out of the book of Matthew. And it is the Beatitudes. And they come from Jesus. When you look at Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, you see a whole lot of red in the Bible, if you have one of those Bibles that kind of mark what Jesus said in red. It's a lot of red in both of those books, in both of those chapters of the Bible, of the book of Matthew. Lots and lots of red in Matthew, because Jesus was speaking. First book of the New Testament. And so we're in the first book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament. And it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So I say to the 350,000 plus Americans who have lost loved ones to COVID, you are blessed, for you shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. And I go back up to those that mourn. Many have lost family members that did not pass because of COVID. But I say to you too, you are blessed. We are all blessed that are mourning or have mourned lost loved ones in our lives. Lost parents, lost grandparents, lost aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and spouses and children shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that is our title for today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I speak to those that want peace and not out there showing and creating havoc. Those young people out there that are the peacemakers, those older people out there that are the peacemakers, our elders that are out there that are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled up underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Hallelujah. Let your light shine, brothers and sisters. So, and this is me saying the brothers and sisters. The word says, let your light shine. So, before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And I say to those out there that are practicing and working their ministries in the fivefold, to the prophets and prophetess, to the, oh my God, thank you, Jesus, to the evangelists who do so much in getting the word of God out, to all those preachers and teachers who teach and preach and read the word of God to the masses. Hallelujah. You got to work the word and let your light shine. To the pastors, the shepherds that shepherd their flock, let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It doesn't say glorify you. It doesn't say glorify me. It doesn't say glorify us that work in the ministry. It doesn't say to glorify us. It says to glorify our Father in heaven. We do this not for self, but for God. Do not think that I came to destroy the law. This is Jesus speaking, or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, to heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. One jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. He's a part of the fulfillment of the law of the prophet. But there's more. So we are still, we are under grace. But the law did not change. He said it. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So, heavenly minded and no earthly good. The Lord is wanting us to be here to teach and preach and know his word, but do it for God, to glorify God and not self. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, that who is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. We're going to go to the dictionary and look up the word Raka. And the word Raka, I bet. me go here. Hold on just a minute. I had it and lost it, so give me a second, one more second, family. Bear with the girl. This word and no. The word rocket is original to the Greek manuscript. However, it is not a Greek word. The most common view is that it is reference to the Aramaic word reka, R-E-K-A, which literally means empty one, but probably meant empty-headed or foolish. Scholars seem divided on how grievous an insult it was. So, and it just asked this question. This is one of those things that says, why did Jesus warn against saying the word raka in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22? Was raka such a bad thing to say? And it says, this is the answer, it says, in Matthew chapter 5, 22, is the only passage in the Bible where the term raka is used. Raka comes from the Aramaic term requa, which is R-E-Q-A in this one. It was a derogatory expression meaning empty-headed, insinuating a person's stupidity or inferiority. It was an offensive name used to show utter contempt for another person. Jesus warned that the use of such a word to describe someone was tantamount to murder and deserving of the severest punishment of the law. Wow. But Jesus will tell you up front, that is a word you do not use. And whoever says to his brother, raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So we got to be careful calling folks fools and saying foolish, because I'm not trying to go to hell because somebody, I said a word I shouldn't have been saying. But to call somebody empty-headed using that word are a fool. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Can't be owing, folks. God's saying we got to pay our debt, and that's all of us, you know, but we can't be talking about people. You can't, especially your siblings. We got to reconcile with our brothers and our sisters. If you got an ought against your brother and sister, you need to shake it off and let it go, for God is in charge of it all. Give to God what belongs to God, which is us. We belong to our Father, and our Father belongs to us. As we get ready to wrap it up this morning, a life lesson from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 is this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. To hunger and thirst for righteousness ultimately means that one hungers and thirsts for God. And those who long for God, the real God, not a false deity of their own imagination, will find him and be filled. Not some craziness. We got to seek our Heavenly Father, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that gave us the rainbow as a covenant, the one that blesses us for just doing right. You know, we try to make God into some type of ATM. Lord, I need. Instead of, Lord, thank you. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for giving us a brand new day. Thank you for the sun in the sky that gives us warmth. Thank you for the breeze in the air that gives us coolness. Thank you for the dew in the morning that gives us a brand new day. Instead of saying thank you, we're always telling God, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. You know, quit being needy and start saying thank you, because the Lord knows already what you need, and he provides it. The issue is, how do you use what he provides? And in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus wants us to take seriously our role as salt, a preservative. Our behavior is to be distinctly different from those who do not know God, and it will not be reflect the same kinds of sin that corrupt a godless nature. Culture, excuse me. I'm going to read that again. You are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13, Jesus wants us to take seriously our role as salt. You have flavor. You preserve. You make things better. You know, we know when we put a little salt in the soup, in the greens, in the black-eyed peas that many of us were eating at the beginning of the year, that little bit of salt made it taste a little bit better. Because food without any kind of flavor is just food, and it doesn't taste good. You need that little bit of salt to just give it that little bit of flavor. It preserves. You know, you want to preserve some meat. They used to salt the meat to preserve it. But it says our behavior is from those who do not know God. And it must not reflect the same kinds of sin that corrupt a godless culture. We can't be out there dropping it like it's hot. Like everybody in the club, back it up. We can't be there. We can't be backing it up. We can't be wobble wobbling, baby. That's not who we are. And you know, I know there's some. We can't be the whopping, and we can't be the everything else out there. We can't be Meg the Stallion. You know, we can't be ratchet and whatever else those words are in the song. We got to be different because we are salt. And in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Some people mistakenly think that Jesus came to reveal a God totally different from the one revealed in the Old Testament. But this is false. Jesus came to do the will of his Father, not to replace it with his own. That, catch that word. You know, you have a lot of folks that say, oh no, we don't live by the law anymore. We have just grace. That's not what the word says. That's not what Jesus said. We got to study the word and understand that what we think is not what we think, is what does the word say. And let's go to a couple of things, and then I got to get, well, we get out of here. Time is passing by. And I'm sorry I don't have time for callers this morning, but we will get together for callers on Friday as well as Thursday. So callers, you know, if you got anything to say, we may have time tomorrow as well. But today I know I am not going to have any time for callers. But we definitely want you to pray us up, please. Pray up this ministry. And it says this, how can I rid myself of guilt? Matthew 23:24. Consider several key steps required to be free from guilt of all under the banner of forgiveness. And I'm just going to give you these. Three things that Dr. Stanley has given. And the first is admit to sin that created your guilt. So if you are feeling guilty, you got to admit to the sin that created your guilt. Two, make amends. Number three, accept forgiveness. And let's go through these real quick. And it says admit to sin that created your guilt. Repent of your sin to God. If you have sinned against another person, confess to that person also in facing your sin. Make certain that it is a sin before God. The sin you think you have committed may have been merely a mistake or error of someone else's sin. On the other hand, remember that our society is quick to accept some sinful behaviors as normal. Y'all got that. The Bible presents a very clear picture of what is sin and isn't. If you have any doubt about whether you have sinned, consult the scriptures. When you confess to God or a person that you have sinned, don't try to justify what you did. Simply state your sin or error, then ask God or the person to forgive you. Make amends. If you have wronged another person, don't try to substitute a request for forgiveness by doing kind deeds for that person. This simple principle holds for your relationship with God. Don't try to substitute works for genuine forgiveness. Come on now. In seeking to make amends for a wrong committed against another person, you may be wise to ask the person what he or she would consider fair payment for the hurt or injury, or you may want to offer satisfaction of some type. Accept forgiveness. If you have sinned against God and have repented, you can be assured that he has forgiven you. His word promises that he will pardon you, and God always keeps his word. And that is our word for this morning. And we have a word from our sister in Christ. And our word from Sister Carolyn this morning is not here yet. So, because we are early than we normally are. So I say to you today, don't try to second guess the sincerity of motives and that of someone that asks forgiveness. Just forgive. We confess our sins, we ask forgiveness. And remember, I say to you this morning that blessed, blessed, you are blessed because you will one day see God. As long as you have a pure heart, keep God first in everything that you do, family. And as always, he will watch over you. He will bless you. He will cover you. He will carry you through everything. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus, pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. As always, it's time for us to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. We want that light to shine. Hallelujah. Let your light shine, family, as you go to work for God. Use that salt because you are the salt of the earth. Be blessed. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It is a wrap. Because why? We got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. And join me tomorrow at our normal time. 7 a.m. Have a great day. It's a wrap.